Looking back.
In retrospect.
With the benefit of hindsight.
If only we had known.
Later this year, the next UN Climate Change Conference takes place in Paris. The goal? To create a legally binding successor to the Kyoto Climate Change Protocol. To slash the carbon emissions that cause measurable change in the Earth's climate. But we've been there before. Copenhagen 2009, when the world was supposed to come together to save us from rising carbon emissions. Who can forget Kevin Rudd's evangelical language?
Climate change is the great moral challenge of our generation. Climate change is not just an environmental challenge. Climate change is an economic challenge, a social challenge, and actually represents a deep challenge on the overall question of national security.
Or Al Gore's box office smash, An Inconvenient Truth.
When there is more carbon dioxide, the temperature gets warmer. It just keeps going up. It is relentless.
Crikey, even Rupert Murdoch was getting worried.
We've got to at least take the insurance that the people who say so might be right. Temperatures have been rising, and we are not entirely sure of the consequences. And the planet deserves the benefit of the doubt.
And here's Barack Obama in 2008.
This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal.
But a year later, Copenhagen turned into Nopenhagen, a spectacular failure to reach a global consensus.
To other news now, and the Copenhagen Climate Change Summit has wrapped up without a legally binding agreement to reduce worldwide greenhouse gas emissions. Chief Political Correspondent Mark Simpkin reports from Copenhagen.
Negotiators failed to get consensus on the new international...
5 years later, we're told again, we're on schedule again to reach a historic global deal, this time in Paris. But are we? Take last November's US-China deal. We're told it's a game changer. But really, the number one emitter has simply agreed to begin reducing its emissions by 2030. China will have free rein to chug along the smoky path to prosperity until the 2030s. And India won't even commit to reducing emissions, despite President Obama's pleas in Delhi this week. Now, Paris might produce a deal, but it won't be legally binding, enforceable and verifiable. Why not? Because developing countries want to grow their economies and reduce poverty. A binding deal would dramatically limit their access to relatively cheap energy for hundreds of millions of people. All of this is a reminder of the perils of our pluralistic world. With so many nations possessing power and trying to assert influence, it's more difficult to build consensus. In other words, the more decision makers, the more difficult to make decisions. And put it this way, the world couldn't reach a consensus on global trade at Doha in 2008, something that would have saved us all money. So how will we reach a consensus on reducing global emissions, something that's going to cost us more? Competing interests will override any collective action. So the lesson? Lower expectations to what's achievable. Instead of a global carbon tax or an emissions trading scheme, why not work towards mini-agreements, ones that could slow deforestation or set minimum standards for vehicle fuel efficiency? Or better yet, why not do what we've always done, find ways to adapt to changing conditions, which wouldn't require a global agreement and would save us the heartache of more catastrophes like the one we had in Copenhagen and the one coming up in Paris.